This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills signed running back T.J. Yeldon today, a free agent, reportedly signing him to a two-year contract. Yeldon spent his first four seasons in the league with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They made him a second-round pick in 2015. Yeldon is 25 years old, a starter as a rookie, then lost his job the last couple of years, backing up Leonard Fournette. He is a threat out of the backfield, too, a couple of 50-catch seasons over the last 3 years, including 55 catches last year. T.J. Yeldon, running back, signs with the Buffalo Bills today. Well, the Arizona Cardinals say their top decision-makers will meet early this week to set their plans. They have the number one pick in Thursday's NFL draft. Arizona goes number one. Cardinals brass, GM Steve Keim, coach Cliff Kingsbury, and owner Michael Bidwell will have a final meeting over the next few days to discuss their options at number one. Report says the Cardinals have received feeler calls from teams inquiring about trading for them for the number one pick. Seattle Seahawks still considering trading defensive end Frank Clark. In return, the Seahawks would want any package to include at least a first-round draft pick in Thursday's NFL draft. Clark has yet to sign his franchise tag. He's been the subject of trade rumors, and the Seahawks are interested if they can get a first-rounder in exchange. Stanley Cup playoffs, couple of games tonight. In the East, it is Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Series between Washington and Carolina. Washington leads that series 3-2. They'll face off 7 o'clock tonight in Carolina. Out West, it is Game 6 of the series between Nashville and Dallas. They'll play tonight 8:30 in Dallas. Dallas leads that series 3-2. And after being rained out over the weekend in Buffalo, the Bisons open up a road trip in Syracuse against the Mets tonight. Right-hander Jordan Romano makes his third start of the season for the Herd. He has won one and lost one of his first two starts. First pitch, 6:35 tonight in Syracuse, the Bisons and the Syracuse Mets. I know you don't care about baseball, but can I just say what a travesty it is, Steve Tasker, that they are the Syracuse Mets. They were the Syracuse Chiefs for decades. Even the Sky Chiefs was okay. And they just changed to the Mets this year? Come on, man. That's a legendary. If the Bisons ever changed their nickname, they wouldn't. They would never do it. They would never do it. I can't believe they did it in Syracuse. Syracuse Chiefs. Rolls off the tongue.
Well, there you go.
What do you mean, there you go? Like, when you say there you go, what you're really saying is, I couldn't care less.
I'm saying there you go. It's outrage at its best.
I get outraged about stupid things.
When a minor league baseball team changes its name.
Yeah, especially in one that means as much as that one, Syracuse Chiefs. Let's get back to the draft. We've got one of the foremost experts on the draft and on the NFL really on the line with us. He is Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst. He's been with them since 2008, contributor to ESPN and ESPN Radio. Really glad to have Sam Monson on the line with us. Sam, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thank you for joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me. Been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. You, since then, have made the move, right, from Ireland, your homeland, to the United States. Where do you live right now, Sam?
Yeah, I'm now about 20 minutes outside of Cincinnati, where PFF HQ is based. So, yeah, it's summer of 2017 I moved over.
Wow. Very nice.
We first got with you on this show years ago when PFF had a bunch of people from the UK, including Ireland, doing the analysis. And now PFF has really blossomed over the last few years, hasn't it, with video feeds and the involvement of Chris Collinsworth and some of the others. And, boy, when you go to the Combine or one of those major events, you're overwhelmed with numbers from the PFF group. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, way back in the day, we had just a few NFL team clients. Now all 32 NFL teams are PFF customers. We're up to, I think, 55 college teams, a couple of BFL teams. We're pretty much all over the place now.
Before we get to the draft, I'm not going to ask you what you do for the Bills, but what do you do for the Bills? No, what kind of services do you provide the Bills and other NFL teams?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is pretty much subscribes to the same kind of team consumer package. There's a little bit of difference here and there in terms of what exactly they're paying for. And then there's a real difference, I think, in each NFL franchise, kind of how ingrained PFF is in their day-to-day lives and their how much they use the system and how much they get use of it. And that's the real thing we find when we go to the events like the Combine and we meet with all these teams. It's just the variety of how certain teams use it. Some teams just take the data, use it as a part of their checking process, and other teams, it's fully ingrained in what they do. It's all part of their video system. It's a big part of their checks and balances. It saves their QC coaches a ton of time. You know, you think way back in the day, these guys used to have to come in on a Monday morning and start manually making cutouts of all the things to help with the week's preparation and game planning. Now it's all done at the touch of a button. They just go in, they access PFF data, and that's able to create a custom cutup, you know, more or less instantaneously. Those guys don't have to spend their entire Monday creating this. They can save all that time.
Well, Sam, we're in the part of the season where, you know, cutups are cutups, and free agency has come and is still in the process. The Bills signed a running back, T.J. Yeldon, just yesterday. What can you tell us about him? Certainly he played a role for Jacksonville. They signed him today, actually, and to a two-year deal. Give us the lowdown on a guy like T.J. Yeldon. What does he bring to the Buffalo Bills, to a group that already has LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore?
Yeah, he's an interesting player because he started off with a pretty solid PFF grade, and he was a guy that we liked. He's capable as a receiver. He's capable carrying the ball on the ground. He's a pretty well-rounded back that can kind of do it all. But the longer he's gone on in the league, that grade has just gotten steadily worse. It's actually declined every single season of his career. And part of that is because, you know, the opportunities didn't manifest themselves the way they might given his early start. And also that Jacksonville offense generally was headed in the wrong direction. Obviously, Blake Bortles, a quarterback, took steps in the wrong direction. The offensive line got beat up, and a huge part of running back success is how good the blocking is in front of them. But I think Yeldon, you know, does represent a good backup option for a team because he can do it all. He doesn't have to tip your hand in terms of being a third down back or a guy who's only in there on obvious passing plays, obviously obvious running plays. He's a guy that can be a legitimate every down backup to somebody, and I think be a valuable contributor if the situation is right.
His pass reception totals are impressive, though, Sam, with, 55 catches last year, more than 50 a couple of years ago, which makes me wonder if the Bills view him as a potential third down running back who they can get involved in the passing game. What do you think? How would you use him?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance they do. I think he's definitely he's good at that. He's a solid receiving option among running backs. I think that's a decent spot for teams. And any team that's bringing in a back like that is typically looking to use, you know, a third down back. That's when they get their primary bell cow some rest. That's when they get that guy on the sideline and, you know, rejuvenated for the next series or the next drive. I think Yeldon would be a good third down option. He's capable as a receiver. He's got some wiggle after the catch, and he's also not a bad pass blocker, which is usually the kind of critical factor with determining which backs are going to be on the field on third down. Sure.
Well, the Bills spent a lot of time and a lot of money on free agent in the free agent markets. They had a lot of money to spend, and they addressed a lot of needs on offense particularly. They brought in a bunch of offensive linemen and two really pretty good named wide receivers in Cole Beasley and John Brown. What do you make about the changes and the bolstering that the Bills have done on their offensive side of the ball around Josh Allen?
I think they've made a lot of smart moves. You know, Josh Allen is an interesting quarterback because I think he was a little bit more successful as a rookie than we thought he might be, given the kind of quality of player he was coming out of college and the holes in his game coming out of college. But I think we saw that he will remain, you know, a relatively inaccurate quarterback. He's never going to look like Joe Montana out there completing 65% of his passes and putting the ball exactly where it should be every single time. But he makes up for that by being this dynamic threat with his legs and by having this incredible arm to go deep pretty much anytime he wants. And I think what they've done is they've given him a receiver in John Brown, who is an excellent deep target. We saw last year before the quarterback switch with him that he was still a very viable deep threat, and Josh Allen went deep last season more than any other quarterback in terms of, you know, frequency, percent of his dropbacks that were a deep target. And then the other side of things, you've got Cole Beasley, who, you know, you don't think of him as a great match for a quarterback who's got a big arm, wants to go deep, but Cole Beasley will get open underneath. And there's a huge overlooked thing, I think, for people when they think about matching up with these quarterbacks that aren't necessarily the most consistent or the most accurate, is, you know, you want to get in these deep threats and you want to maximize the yards per play. But if you get a guy who's going to get wide open on those five-yard, you know, pivot plays, even if it's not going to be a high percentage play, you're maximizing the margin for error on the pass. So I think Beasley actually is a good fit for Josh Allen because of that. And those two guys together, I think, represent a big upgrade for that receiving core. And then I like what they did on the offensive line as well. Ty Nsekhe was a guy who's played extremely well, a tackle in limited opportunities starting for the Redskins over the past couple of years. And absolute worst-case scenario, he should represent, you know, really the best swing tackle, the best backup option in the league. But I think he's got a good shot to start and be a quality player as well.
We're with Sam Monson. He's Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst. Let's get to the draft. And I want to talk about a player that your colleague there, Steve Palazzolo, mentioned to Steve and I a couple of weeks ago. The cornerback from Washington, Byron Murphy. You kind of like him, too, as a fit for the Bills. Isn't that right, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Bills potentially still have a need of cornerback. I think we don't quite know what Levi Wallace is going to be going forward. He had a really impressive rookie season, but didn't play, you know, only played essentially 400-odd snaps, not enough, I think, to sell you on the idea of him being your quality lockdown cornerback opposite Tre'Davious White going forward. And even if he is, this is a league that requires three corners these days. You need a third guy that can play 600-700 snaps, so I think it wouldn't be a bad move to get a third guy anyway. And yeah, Byron Murphy, in a zone scheme in particular, is devastating. He's got the quickness coming out of breaks that he can really maximize that, and it doesn't matter that he doesn't run, you know, a 4-3 flat, because you just don't need him to. The way he can read the play, react to what's happening in front of him, and I think in that scheme, it would be a beautiful fit.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the scheme fit and why it's so important.
Yeah, I mean, corner in particular, I think a huge amount of whether these guys succeed or fail at the NFL level is what system they end up in. And, you know, particularly long-term, whether those systems change and you see them suddenly find themselves in a situation that they're not great at. And I think that's a lot of the reason why you see cornerback boards look completely different, because depending on the scheme you run, you're going to have guys in a completely different order. Whoever is a great fit for, you know, a press man scheme that runs man coverage almost all the time, it's not the same skill set that you're looking for compared to the team that runs a lot of zone coverage. And I think the Bills run a ton of that zone coverage. We saw Tre'Davious White was a perfect fit for that kind of system. I think that's what Byron Murphy would be as well. These zone players, they don't necessarily have to run a 4-3 flat because they've got their eyes on the quarterback. They're reading the play in front of them. They're not necessarily having to rely on their athleticism, their quickness to match receivers and to run with those guys. They can rely a little bit more on, you know, the square foot of real estate in above their shoulders, and that's where they get their first yard of speed from. So I think Byron Murphy would be a great fit for that team.
Hey, Sam, Steve and I talked a lot in the first hour of our show about this week as we approach the draft, 3 days away from round one. What do you make of the reports about Arizona maybe backing off Kyler Murray, maybe getting ready to take somebody else at number one? Is this typical draft week line season stuff, or is that for real? And is Kyler Murray a legitimate first overall prospect for the Arizona Cardinals? What do you think?
I think he absolutely should be. Whether he is or not, I think it's still up in the air. But, you know, we've been working really hard at PFF to quantify this transition between the college level and the NFL level, particularly when it comes to quarterbacks, because this is a passing league. You know, the quarterback has never been more important. It is the thing that determines whether you're going to succeed or fail as a franchise going forward. So you need to get it right. And all of the data we had last year pointed to the fact that Baker Mayfield was head and shoulders the best quarterback in last year's draft. And Kyler Murray isn't quite Baker Mayfield according to these numbers, but he's closer to Baker than any other quarterback over the last 2 years was. And when you look at accuracy, when you look at play from a clean pocket, which is the most stable number. It's the most translatable thing when you look at the frequency of, you know, mistakes, bad plays. He's right up there as well. Plus, he has that X factor of that incredible athleticism that Baker Mayfield didn't have. So I think Murray is a huge upgrade over Josh Rosen. Even if they were in the same draft class, I think you would take Kyler Murray significantly ahead of where you would take Rosen, which means essentially the Cardinals have a shot to upgrade at the position. They have a chance to, you know, flip their quarterback decision for the guy they want to be leading them forward, and then deal with Rosen later. You know, whether it's trade him, whether it's hang on to him until a quarterback needy team comes calling. But I think they have to take the opportunity afforded to them of making that upgrade at the most important position.
Some of the things we've spoken to, the experts we've spoken to, have said Kyler Murray's a little bit, they think he may be a system quarterback. The OU system, the conference they play in, has helped Kyler Murray to shine in a way in the college level that it may be more difficult for him to do in the NFL level. Certainly won the Heisman Trophy. But what is it? What about that criticism that Kyler Murray's kind of a product of the OU system and the conference with that didn't play really good defense against him?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that's exactly the same thing that was being said about Baker Mayfield. And it's true to an extent. You know, there's no denying the fact that that offense does make life easier for quarterback. And, you know, there are a huge amount of easy throws in that offense. 20%-ish of his targets are screens. Big 12 is very much a conference where defense is optional. There's a lot of poor coverage. There's a lot of bad play. But the key is to try and answer how important is it or how big a mitigating factor is it. And if you strip out all of that stuff, you take away the screens, if you take away the easy throws, and you just look at the NFL-caliber throws, again, that's where Baker Mayfield was so far in front of everybody else. So it was, okay, even if life is harder at the next level, if he doesn't have these screens, if he doesn't have the bad defense, if he's throwing into tight coverage all the time, he's still the best quarterback in this class at doing just that. And I think the same thing is true with Kyler Murray. If you take out the easy stuff, if you remove the benefits of playing in that system, he's still good at the things you're going to want him to do at the next level and better than anybody else in this class at that. So, yeah, I think it's a valid criticism, but you shouldn't be using it as a reason that he won't succeed. You should just be saying, okay, we need to figure out how much this impacts his overall evaluation and how much it should be pulling him back towards the rest of the pack.
Hey, Sam, but we've been asking our listeners, Bills fans today, about if there's one player the Bills are interested in more than anybody else in this draft, if there's one player that the Bills should be will be happy to get in Thursday's first round. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, who do you think the Bills should be interested in? If they had to lock on one player, who would it be, do you think, to help this Bills team get better?
I think the Bills are in a really good spot in terms of, you know, free agency to me should be where you attack real needs so that you don't run into the draft desperately needing to fill a starting spot. I think if you put yourself in that position, you're already behind the eight ball because now you're not necessarily taking the best player available. You're trying to fit a need, and that guy's probably not going to play lights out from year one. So I think the Bills are in a pretty good spot because they address their most glaring needs, that they can really go best player available and, you know, attack a guy that's going to make the biggest impact. I think receiver, number one receiver, is still an option, still a need for them, but I don't know that there's one guy there that screams that they need to take him. I would love to see Buffalo grab Jonah Williams, the left tackle from Alabama. I think he has a chance to be a really special left tackle at the next level. And even though it's not a glaring need for Buffalo, for them to install him and see him as a sort of 10-year starter to absolutely nail down that position, I think would be a huge boost to this team.
Where do you see Hockenson? I know in the most recent PFF mock draft, I saw that he was listed as 19 overall to the Tennessee Titans. Is that about the right range for him, or would a top 10 pick for T.J. Hockenson be a value pick?
I think a top 10 pick might be a little bit rich for him. I think he's a really good player. He's what you want in a modern-day tight end in that he can still block. And these days, being able to block is what makes you that dual-threat player as a tight end because most of these guys can't. You know, even the best college blocking tight ends are typically not good at it at the next level, or even if they are, it takes them a while to adjust. So if you get a guy like Hockenson who can be a really good receiving threat, a dynamic matchup problem for defenses, and provide you value in the run game because he can still block, I think that is really valuable. But I don't know that he's quite good enough to be taken in that top 10 area.
Interesting. We can't wait for the draft, Sam. Thank you for joining us today to talk about it with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Monson is lead analyst for Pro Football Focus. Been with them since 2008. 11 years, contributor to ESPN and ESPN Radio. We thank him for joining us. Pro Football Focus has a lot to say about our next guest based on his rookie campaign, Bills cornerback Levi Wallace, with some amazing metrics coming from Pro Football Focus from his rookie campaign, really the last, what, six, seven, or eight games of his rookie year. We'll talk about that. Levi Wallace is going to join us in studio when we return. Come on back. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We are 3 days away from the NFL Draft. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We got more draft talk coming up, but before that, we want to get to a guy who's already on the Buffalo roster, getting set for his second season with the Buffalo Bills. We're happy to have cornerback Levi Wallace in studio with us. Hi, Levi. Thanks for coming by.
Man, thanks you guys for having me. Thank you.
You kind of splashed. You came in the second half of the season last year and started, seven games, the last seven games of the season. And how did it feel? What did you expect, and then how'd it go for you in the last half of the season?
It went as good as it could be. You know, the first couple games you're getting your feet in the water, and it's a little different. Just going against, in preseason you're going against like twos and threes, and then you get thrown out there and you're going against like the other team's ones.
Guys you watch on TV,
yeah,
guys
sure.
in video games.
And it's a lot faster, but you pick it up, and with the help of the safeties and the defensive guys believing in me, it was a good season.
So Murph and I have been talking. We've got this graphic, and Pro Football Focus has got you graded as the fourth. And the games that you played for half of the season, you were the fourth overall cornerback performance-wise in the entire league. And you were an undrafted rookie free agent, and it turns out you were up there with guys like Steph Gilmore, Desmond King, Patrick Peterson. Right. I mean, you're with some guys that people know, and you – with your play, really elevated yourself. In fact, they had a mock draft, right? A redraft. Yep. You'd go on, instead of being undrafted, you'd go in the first round with your performance. What's that feel like? Because you got to know how well it went for you in the last half of the season. What's it feel like, though, to have somebody else notice?
It's always good to get that, recognition. I think I played that good because of that chip on my shoulder with going undrafted. So. Maybe I wouldn't have the same season, or maybe I would, I played to the best of my ability, and it just wasn't me. It was the D-line and, my teammates as well believing in me. So
it was, 3 days away from round one of this year's draft. So last year, draft weekend, where were you? Where did you watch the draft, and how did you spend it?
I was in Tuscaloosa, just with some family. First day, I watched it at the complex, maybe knowing that I wasn't going first round.
Right.
Just wanted to see the guys.
Your teammates.
Yeah, for sure. Happy for them. But I started going into it. I was sticking around with family. A lot of anxiety, built up. I didn't get the call, obviously. But then right after a couple teams called me, I think the Bills were like the second call. It just made sense to come out here. So
was it really crushing, difficult, late Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock, no call. You see that you're probably not going to get selected. You had to be down, but then those calls start coming in right away, right?
Yeah, of course. You dream, you work for, to get that phone call, your whole life. Until it doesn't happen, the draft's over. And then you get phone calls after, and it's like, it's kind of weird, kind of think about it. But, I'm just happy that I'm favored with God, and, he sent me out here to be in Buffalo,
As an undrafted, you get to choose, unlike seventh-rounders, right. sixth-rounders. So right. why did you choose Buffalo back then?
Just talking to the coaches staff, I know there's going to be some familiar faces on offense with Dable and some of the guys he brought up with him. And then I found out Rob signed up here as well, And I just thought, I could bring good competition to the team and just play to the best of my ability.
What's the biggest difference now? You're back here. Now you've seen a lap, right? You've been a whole year. This is the draft coming up, and you're going to You've been here 12 months. You've seen all that the league has to offer with schedule and games and preseason and training camp, bye week. You've seen all that. What's the biggest change now?
Just mastering my position, you know, mastering, you know, it's good to get introduced and get in the flow of things, but now it's like, all right, let's get settled in. Let's focus on what needs to focus so we can, you know, take that next step, you know, hopefully not be the fourth highest, but, you know, try to be like the top, you know, top. Just studying tape more, just getting around guys like Micah and Jordan. Tre'Davis just trying to get their habits and trying to develop as a player.
First half of the season, you were practice squad. How did that benefit you? How did that get you ready to play in the second half of the year?
It felt like college, you know what I mean, with me walking on, you know, just trusting the process, you know, just getting my shoes wet, you know, seeing how the league works out, and then just understanding what it takes to play at the next level, seeing guys in front of me and how they prepare and practice. I think it definitely affected my second half of the season.
What does the new facility mean? What is it? How has that changed the vibe around the players? Now they're back here for these volunteers. How does that change the vibe in the building, this new facility they've got that's all that shiny new toy?
It's definitely a lot more energy in the building, you know. A lot more people are excited. Just to have a beautiful place like that they just built, exciting to go in there and get good work in. You know, everyone's pushing each other. Everyone's working hard. Everyone's setting new records for themselves. It's good. You can see the chemistry being built. And I'm excited for this year, for sure.
When you came out of here, we were talking off air, you compared it a little bit to Alabama's weight room setup with about, what, half as many participants, right? They have twice as many players on the roster.
For sure. And it's just as nice, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a beautiful environment here. Like you said, just less players here, you know, like, what, 50, 60,
yeah.
70, and Alabama's like 130 or something like that. So not as much chaos in the atmosphere, but still good work.
Have you used the nap pod yet? Because Steve and I want to get in there.
You got our names on the waiting list.
No, I haven't used a nap pod yet.
What a great idea.
But, I mean, they have many other things, you know.
Yeah, all kinds of recovery
things. Yeah, for sure. They have these massage chairs that are just unbelievable. And I'm actually going as soon as we get off this show, I'm excited for that.
So we laugh about it and say, you know, Alabama has this nice facility because they got to recruit. You know, they got to recruit us. Well, now the Bills are recruiting. They had a big free agent year. Mm-hmm. You know that they're – it's – you have to kind of keep up and make your program like the Bills for these free agents to come in. What's, you know, how do you think this place sells with other, like, a, you know, you've been around the block once, you're a veteran now.
Right.
How do you think this vibe and this culture and this building and this city, this team, how do you think that plays around the NFL? What do you think other guys think of Buffalo and their program they're running?
I can't speak on other guys. I've only been here. I know what the guys here think of it. You know, it means a lot to the city. You know, the team does. You know, you just hear stories about how it was here when we went to playoffs 2 years ago. And it's just, I mean, you can feel the different energy here. And comparing it back to Alabama, you know, they love Alabama just like up here. They love Buffalo, if not even more. And it just means so much to the city. And it's just great people all around the organization. So it's just a blessing to be up here and playing for the Buffalo Bills, for sure.
Levi, what was your offseason like in terms of – did you travel much or did you hang anywhere in particular or what did you do?
At the beginning, I traveled a little bit. I was down in Miami for most of the time, training down there and just hanging out with my girlfriend. But back and forth through here, Buffalo. When it got too cold up here, you know, I had to leave, you know, the blizzards and stuff.
Sure.
So, but it was good work down there being in the heat, but I'm glad to be back for sure.
What are your expectations for this season for you personally?
Like I said, just keep mastering my position, you know, growing. You know, we have more competition here, and, you know, no telling who would draft. So definitely just trying to be a leader in my room now for whoever comes in or the side of the ball, you know, defense, just trying to be able to help those guys and elevate everyone, you know, not just myself.
It's such a different setup. A year ago, you came in probably, you're undrafted, just scrambling to make the roster. Now you come in with 7 starts under your belt and all these good grades from Pro Football Focus. And not that you can rest on that, but you must feel like this, you've established who you are, what you might be right in this league.
A little bit, you know. I look at the grades and, you know, I feel like I still haven't proven anything. You know, I still have 0 interceptions, you know, got to change that number. But like I said, just trying to work hard, you know, just focus on the little things this year, you know, focusing on my craft and my details.
You mentioned to us how your position coach, John Butler, has been a big factor in your development over a year and almost into your second year now. What do you get from him? What do you like about working with him?
He's like me. You know, he recognizes the players that he has, you know, and their strengths, and tries to build their weaknesses as well. So with me personally, you know, he recognizes I'm a smart player. And so we have, you know, those deep football talks, you know, and he develops me, you know, by myself one-on-one if I ask him questions. Really good. He knows football on and off the field. You know, we have just a really good relationship. Just a really good overall person, for real.
One week into the off-season program here, this is week two, started today. How's that gone? And in particular, how's it gone kind of getting together with the guys you played with last year, getting back with those guys? It must be a pretty good feeling.
We picked up like we never left off. You know, so many jokes and so many laughs. I mean, like you said, it's just 1 week. It's a lot of hard work, but we all know we're here for a purpose. And, you know, we're trying to build a team, definitely trying to build the defense.
What I want to ask you is, how much of a difference is it going to make for you being in the same system in the second year? You say you want to master your craft, a lot of teams, like two teams in the AFC East, the Dolphins and the Jets, both have brand new head coaches and brand new coaching staffs.
Right.
How much of a factor and how much of a help is it going to be coming back and just reiterate what you did throughout all last season with the same terminology, same scheme, all of that?
You're definitely a lot more comfortable, for sure, in the system. And you know, now you can focus on, like I said, like not just looking at me, but all right, what is Trey White doing on the other side, and who he's going against, and you know what I mean, looking at small things as far as that, you know, his coverage, not just my own, you know, seeing the big picture now, not just focusing on one little aspect of the game, you know, trying to see it all come together, see why we're rushing this way, or why people are dropping back, you know, understanding the game a little bit more.
Levi, thanks for this. Thanks for stopping by.
Good seeing you again.
No, thank you guys for having me.
Thanks
for
a lot. Yes, Levi sir. Wallace, Bills Corner, getting set for his second season with the Bills. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.